On day hung.
The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 15, Text 40, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on August 21st, 1999 at Prabhupada Desh.
The duty of a Brahman is to culture the quality of forgiveness, which is illuminating like the sun. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is pleased with those who are forgiving. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Different personalities become beautiful by possessing different qualities. Chanakya Pandit says that the cuckoo bird, although very black, is beautiful because of its sweet voice. Similarly, a woman becomes beautiful by her chastity and faithfulness to her husband. And an ugly person becomes beautiful when he becomes a learned scholar. In the same way, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras become beautiful by their qualities. Brahmins are beautiful when they are forgiving. Kshatriyas when they are heroic and never retreat from fighting. Vaishyas when they enrich cultural activities and protect cows. And Shudras when they are faithful in the discharge of duties pleasing to their masters. Thus, everyone becomes beautiful by his special qualities. And the special quality of the Brahman, as described here, is forgiveness. Today, we are reading from a verse which is of great importance for all of us to comprehend and apply to our lives. As we approach Krishna, Krishna responds and reciprocates accordingly. We understand that everything within the entire existence is emanating from either the internal or external potency of the Lord. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunani nukonte ajagat viparivartate. The whole material nature is working under the direction of Krishna. As you treat other living beings, Krishna will also reciprocate with you accordingly. So we have all been wandering through various species of life, countless births. What to speak of this life? In so many previous lives, we have made offenses, we have hurt others, we have exploited the property of God. We have engaged in sinful activities. Is there anyone that will claim he has never offended others? Has never engaged in sinful activities? Everything is the property of God. Everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Every time we claim proprietorship of something and try to enjoy it, we are actually thieves, stealing what belongs to Krishna. So our only hope in spiritual lives is that the Lord forgives us. If He does not forgive us for all of our offenses, we have no hope whatsoever. But Krishna explains that He will forgive those who forgive others. If we are not willing to forgive people who have offended us, how can we expect Krishna to forgive us when we offend Him? If you forgive, you will be forgiven. If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. We see this as one of the great qualities of all great Vaishnavas. how there is no limit to which they are willing to forgive others. And therefore they are so very dear to the Lord. We find in the Christian scripture, I believe the disciples, they approached Lord Jesus Christ. And something like this, there was a discussion. They asked him, in the law it says you should forgive a person who offends you 7 times. They asked, should we do like that? And I think he said, if somebody offends you, you should forgive them 70 times 7 times. In other words, there's no limit to how many times you should forgive someone. And when he was being crucified on the cross, already they had humiliated him in public. They put that thorny crown and made him bleed. They took off his clothes and beat him, spit on him. They made so many terrible blasphemies against him. They made him carry that big, big cross in the street. They nailed him to it. And they were continuously insulting him. And he was praying to Lord, please forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Please forgive them. Srila Prabhupada explained, this is Vaishnava. There's a story about a sage who was sitting on the river. There was a scorpion drowning in the river. He took the scorpion out with his hand. And due to fear, the scorpion stinged him in the hand. It hurt so much that he dropped the scorpion. He picked it up again. It stung him again. Due to the shock, his hand moved and the scorpion fell back in the water. He picked it up again. The scorpion stung it again. The scorpion fell in the water. He picked it up again. Someone was watching this. They said, Swamiji, what are you doing? That scorpion keeps stinging you. Why do you keep picking it up? He said, it is the nature of a scorpion to sting. And it is the nature of a devotee of the Lord to accept any inconvenience to help another. This is the compassion of Vaishnava. We find in the story of Srila Haridas Thakur, this is a glorious example of forgiveness. In the house of Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya was bestowing benedictions to fulfill the innermost desires of each of his loving devotees. He manifested himself to Haridas Thakur in his original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he glorified the qualities of Haridas. Haridas Thakur, when he was young, many years before, he was living in a place called Fulia, just beside Shantipur, which is where Advaitacharya was residing. Sri Advaitacharya arranged him a very simple little place, like a cave, a bhajan kutir, where he would chant. He would chant 300,000 names of Krishna every day. And whenever he would walk, he wouldn't walk, he would just dance in kirtan. And he was constantly preaching to people to take to the chanting of the name of Krishna. And because he was so humble, he had no ego at all. He was so genuinely concerned with everyone's spiritual welfare. He was so filled with love for Krishna and love for every living being, that so many people, just by seeing Haridas and hearing, they began to chant Hare Krishna. He was creating a Sankirtan revolution single-handedly. But in this world, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, some people will be your friends and some people will be your enemies. This is the nature of politics. People have their own selfish motivations, and they have to somehow or other eliminate the influence of those who are obstacles to their goal. So Haridas was born in a Muslim family, which in those days, by the Hindu standards, they were considered malechas, outcasts. And the Hindus were considered by Muslims to be very, very degraded, satanic devil worshippers. So the Brahmins, who were very much attached to making their income by doing all kinds of rituals, they were losing so much money because no one cared about their rituals anymore. Everyone was just chanting and dancing. So they did not like Haridas. So they were making up all kinds of bogus stories against him and saying he's a malecha, he has no right to say the name of God of the Hindus. One time, one such Brahmin came to him and said, according to our Shastra, a malecha cannot say the name of God because he will contaminate the name of God, so you should keep your mouth shut. And also, the Brahmins should only chant the name of God silently. Should never say it out loud. Because if you say the name of God out loud, it loses all its potency. So Haridas Thakur was a very great scholar of the Vedas. He quoted from Narasimha Purana that the loud chanting of the holy name of Lord Hari is 10,000 times more powerful than silent chanting. And so many slokas he presented. So this Brahmin just began to say, why should I listen to you? You are a malecha. Who are you? You have no right to quote the Vedas. Just see how Kali Yuga has progressed. That an outcast, a low sinful outcast, is giving instructions to a Brahmin on the basis of the Vedas. So you know the ninth offense to the holy name. The ninth offense to the holy name is to preach to faithless people. So Haridas Thakur just smiled and said Hare Krishna and walked away. Meanwhile, the Qazi, who was a very high priest of the Muslims' political regime, he was very much hateful toward Haridas. Because so many innocent people of his religion were starting to chant the names of Krishna, who he considered a false god. So he went to the governor and told him that Haridas Thakur is ruining our whole society. He should be arrested, punished, and killed. What did Haridas do to deserve this? He was just trying to love others by giving them Krishna. So there was an order for his arrest. Haridas Thakur then being brought before the governor. On his way, he had to pass through the prison. The prisoners, most all of them were very, very pious devotees. They were put in prison and they were being tortured simply because they were practicing their religion. So they begged the prison keepers, please let us for a moment see the beautiful lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. They were lined up with their palms folded. With great love and respect, they were drinking the nectar of Haridas Thakur's darshan with their eyes. They were bowing down at his lotus feet. They were begging Haridas for benediction. Haridas gave them a benediction. May you remain as you are. They felt very sad in their hearts. Haridas Thakur could see that they were sad. He smiled. He said, you do not understand. I gave you very good benediction. You're thinking that I mean that you remain in prison forever? Right now, you are with folded palms offering great respects to a devotee of Krishna. And because you are so humbly devoted to a devotee of Krishna at this moment, I see tears in your eyes and ecstatic symptoms in your body, and you're constantly chanting the holy names. And they were constantly chanting. I benedict you that you always remain like this, in this state of consciousness. And within a few days you will be released from this prison. He bestowed Krishna Prem to all these prisoners by inducing them all to take shelter of Krishna's holy names. Then he went before governor. The Qazi was there. He said, punish this man. When the governor saw the effulgence and the beauty of Haridas Thakur and all his compassionate qualities, his heart began to melt. He said, "My dear sir, you are born in an illustrious family of high-class Muslims. Why are you so foolishly behaving like a low-class Hindu? What is wrong with your own scripture, the Holy Quran? Do you think God will be pleased by following some other religion than you were born into? We will not punish you. We will let you free if you just promise to follow your own religion. And even if you follow this religion, if you just stop preaching to everyone, we will let you free." And then he said, "But if you don't, we will have to punish you very severely." Haridas began to laugh very loudly. And he said, "Oh, just see the deluding power of Maya." He was laughing. "Just see how the external potency of Vishnu has captured these people's intelligence." Then he spoke to the Qazi and the governor. Haridas said, "My dear son, there is only one God. He is the God of all religions. Just there is one sun in the sky giving light to all nations, there is one God for all the great religions of the world. And that one God is the source of everything that exists. The father of all living beings. He is the absolute truth. In the Quran, there is discussed the glories of this one God. And also in the Puranas, the Lord has many names and many attributes. And by attaching yourself to any of these divine conceptions of God, one can develop love for him. There is no competition between the different gods of religion. He is one. But throughout my life, in my heart of hearts, I am infinitely attached to the all-attractive form of Krishna. And it is my life and soul to constantly chant and preach the glories of the name of Krishna. I can never give up this chanting of Hare Krishna. I can never give up preaching the glories of Krishna. Even if you cut my body into thousands of pieces, each piece will be chanting Hare Krishna. Now, if you want to punish me, this is my suggestion. If a Hindu Brahmin were to convert to become a Muslim, you should give me the same punishment you would give him. Hare Krishna. When they heard this, the governor's heart was very pleased to hear the words of Haridas. But the Qazi, he said, "He is going to destroy the whole race. We must destroy him." So the governor said, "If you're not willing to stop this loud chanting and preaching, then we will have to punish you." Haridas Thakur smiled. He said, "Let the Supreme Personality of Godhead give his mercy to me in any way he likes." So the governor said, "What should we do?" Qazi said, "He should be tortured and murdered. Let him be beat with sticks through the 22 marketplaces of the village, so that he can publicly be humiliated and killed." So the big, big executioners, very strong men, they had sticks. They were spitting on him, they were blaspheming him, they were pulling him by the hair, they were throwing him on the ground and then beating him with all their strength with these sticks. And the pious people of the town, they fell at the feet of these executioners. They were crying, "Please, please, don't beat this man. He's an innocent, gentle person." People were falling at the feet of the executioners and begging, "Please, let him go and beat me instead. He is so gentle, he's so kind, he's so loving. He does not deserve this. Our whole town will be destroyed by this offense." But the executioners just pushed them away and continued to beat Haridas. And other people of the town, the envious, they were saying, "Ah, very good, he's finally getting what he deserves." So no person ever lived past 2 or 3 marketplaces. They beat Haridas from sunrise to sunset. They dragged him and brutally beat every limb of his body through all 22 marketplaces. He was still alive. The executioners were completely in a sad condition of consciousness. They said, Haridas, we have failed. We beat you, and you never even look tired. You're constantly chanting the names of Krishna. No matter how hard we beat you, we couldn't get you to stop this chanting. And although we're torturing you in the most horrible way, you're looking at us as you're feeling sorry for us. We do not know what to do. Our arms are so tired, we cannot lift our sticks to beat you anymore. And because you're still alive, we're going to be killed for not killing you. Haridas Thakur said, oh, my being alive is a disturbance to you? Then you look and see what I will do. Haridas closed his eyes. All symptoms of life vanished from his body. No heartbeat, no pulse, no breath. By medical examination, he was dead. Then they wanted to pick him up to bring him to the governor. But his body was so heavy, they could not lift it. Then it became very light. So the governor and the Qazi, they were very happy. This rascal is dead. Someone said, so we will bury his body. Qazi said, no, because burying body is the way to deal with the dead who are Muslims. A body is buried, the soul goes to paradise. He has given up his faith, so he has no right to be buried. Burn him like the Hindus. Then the Brahmins came. No, no, you cannot burn him. Because by burning you emancipate or liberate a person of all of his sins. He was born in a malecha family, therefore he cannot contaminate the flames of a Hindu burning fire. So what to do with him? They all decided just throw him in the river like a piece of garbage. So they threw him in river. He went under the water. Then he rose from the dead. He came back to life. He was in such a deep state of samadhi that all symptoms of life disappeared. He came out of the water and started walking down the bank of the Ganges. Some devotees saw him. They were astounded. Haridas has come back. Somebody asked Haridas, why is it you're such a great saintly devotee? Why did they beat you like this? Haridas Thakur was so humble. He said, because I heard those men blaspheming the name of Krishna and his devotees. Therefore, because I heard that, I deserved much worse than this. But because Krishna is merciful, he only gave me little reaction to what I deserved. So when the news came to the Qazi and the governor that Haridas rose from the dead, they realized he actually is a very great saintly person. So all these men, the executioners, the governor, the Qazi, they all fell at Haridas' feet begging forgiveness. Haridas blessed them by telling them to chant Hare Krishna. So years later, when Lord Chaitanya was describing this incident to his devotees, he said to Haridas, I was in Vaikuntha. I was watching this beating going on. And I always protect my devotees. In this difficult situation, you are taking shelter of my name. I must protect you. I invoked my Sudarshan Chakra and ordered Sudarshan to sever the heads of these demons who were beating you. But you were praying. You were praying to me that, please, my Lord, give me one benediction. Forgive these men who are beating me and give them devotional service. Because you were praying so intensely for their forgiveness, my Sudarshan Chakra was inactive. The power of your love and forgiveness for these men, my Sudarshan would not go to touch them. So what can I do? I must protect you. So I personally incarnated, and I personally laid on top of your body. And all those beatings that were meant to kill you hit my body. And then the Lord showed Haridas and all the devotees, he took off his cloth and showed how all the beating marks that were meant for Haridas were on the beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the nature of a devotee's forgiveness. There are unlimited stories. The consort of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Her name was Janava Devi. After the Kechuri festival of Gaur Purnima, she decided to go to Vrindavan with some of her associates. On her way, she was preaching to everyone she met about chanting Hare Krishna, to give up sinful activities and engage in the loving service of Gaur Nitai. Janava Devi was so merciful. She was like the mother of every living being. They would travel during the day having Harinam Sankirtan, and in the evening they would just all sleep under a tree. But before that, hundreds and sometimes thousands of people were coming to see her and hear from her. They went by one village, and there were so many thousands of people coming to take initiation from her. In that village, there was a leader of dacoits. He was a worshipper of the goddess Durga. In Bengal, Durga is often known as Mangala Chandi. So he got his gang of dacoits together and said, "This woman, what right does she have to have such fame? She's misleading everyone. She's getting people to chant these names of Krishna. Instead of coming and touching my feet, they're going to touch this woman's feet. She must be killed tonight." So they got their sharpest weapons. And they decided, as soon as it gets dark, we will run, attack, and kill her and all of her followers. So it became dark. Charge! They ran to attack. They were only a few hundred meters away. They ran as fast as they could with their weapons. And they ran, and ran, and ran, and ran, and ran, and ran. And they kept running. And the sun rose. It was 12 hours later. They were still running. And her followers were still the same distance away sleeping, and they were still where they were the night before. They were thinking, "What happened?" One of the dacoits said, "I know what happened. We did not properly worship Mangala Chandi before performing this auspicious act of killing her. So we will worship her and then go back tonight." So they went and got all these goats and buffaloes and slaughtered them and offered the blood to Goddess Chandi. And then they offered wine and different type of drugs. Of course, they took the prasad. So then they were thinking, "Now everything is auspicious." So they went to take rest. Goddess Chandi appeared before him and all of his disciples in a dream. She started screaming. She took her sword and took him by the head and was about to sever his head. She was screaming, "I will kill you! I will kill you! I will kill you on this very day!" This is his worshipable goddess. He was petrified, trembling in fear. He said, "Mata, Mata, Mother, why are you doing this to me? I am your devotee." She said, "You are not my devotee. You are a demon. I will kill you." He said, "Please, Mother, Mother, don't kill me, please." She said, "I kill you today. I kill you." He said, "Why, why, why?" She said, "Because Janava is Ishwari. She is the supreme goddess of fortune. She's the pleasure potency of the Lord. She is the consort of the supreme personality of Godhead, Nityananda Prabhu. She is my worshipable deity. Whatever powers I have is from her. My life and soul is to please her and worship her. And you have blasphemed her. And you wanted to harm her. I cannot tolerate this. Therefore, I kill you. No, 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 I'm sorry, please, please." "Then tomorrow, you go to Janava Devi, you fall at her feet, you weep and cry, and you beg forgiveness, and you beg her for initiation, and you follow her for the rest of your life. You worship her by constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. And if you don't, I'll be back tomorrow." This same dream took place in every one of his men that night. So this whole gang of dacoits, very humble, gentle, they came and fell at the feet of Janaka Devi. They told her that actually we are so sinful, we wanted to kill you. Janaka smiled, said, "You are forgiven. Whatever you did, I don't mind. But my heart breaks to see you forgetful of Krishna. Please take the name of Krishna." She gave them Krishna mantra. And she accepted them as her disciples. She personally served them by giving nice prasad to them. That is Vaishnava. Devotees, when they are offended, they think that this is a wonderful opportunity to get the mercy of the Lord by forgiving this person. And the more that person offends me, the more mercy I'll get if I forgive them. But if someone offends Guru or Krishna or other Vaishnavas, then we must fight to defend. But for ourselves, we should be all forgiven. But this is very difficult, because the nature of the ego, we want revenge. If someone does something against, we want them destroyed. We want them to fail in whatever they're doing. We want them to be put in a miserable situation. How many feel like that? You are all very humble. This is the tendency of the ego. But a devotee, when he's offended, he thinks or she thinks, I deserve much, much worse than this. But Krishna is just giving little dose for my purification. And this person is just Krishna's agent giving me what I deserve. So we are thankful to the person for giving us Krishna's mercy. This is very difficult. But this is what we should strive to be. This is the actual quality of a Vaishnava, Vaishnavi. This is how our great acharyas lived. Are there any questions? They are friend to everyone. They are forgiving, loving servants of every living being. And because they're giving Krishna, they're the best friend of every living being. But some people, due to being covered by illusion and envy, they cannot recognize that this person is my best friend. They're thinking this person is my enemy because he's trying to take away my sense gratification. Sometimes they become hateful and envious and want to destroy the person. But actually, that person is the best friend of their soul. The soul loves them, but sometimes the ego hates them. So in this way we see all the great personalities, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the best friend of every living being. But due to ignorance, some people couldn't understand that he's the best friend of my soul. He's the beloved of my soul. And they actually hated him. Krishna says in Gita, my devotee is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. That means he's dear to everyone's soul. But some unfortunate people are not willing to recognize that. Does that answer your question? Yes. You should be sincere. Because the first thing is we should know that we do not know. The beginning of knowledge is to know that you do not know. As long as you think you know, no one can teach you anything. Therefore, if people who are very respectable and unmotivated are telling you how you can improve, you should be humble and accept. And if someone's telling you who you don't feel is unmotivated and respectable, then you should honestly open your heart and see, is this person telling me a better way? And you can consult others who you do trust. Should I do like this or am I all right? Then you will always be on the right path. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.